We've been in a series entitled Heart Connections. How do we connect at a heart level with the people in our family and then direct their hearts towards the Lord? And this would apply certainly to marriage and predominantly to parenting, as we've been looking at these various principles. And today we're going to talk about the power of no on this Mother's Day. Now, I know that title does not sound very Mother's Day type flowery, but hang in there with me, and hopefully we'll learn some things that'll be helpful. Two kids were telling their mom that for Mother's Day, she would not have to cook. That as part of their gift, they had committed, they're going to do the cooking for mom on Mother's Day. Well, 9 pots, 2 skillets, 4 large bowls, 11 spoons, 5 measuring cups, and an entire roll of paper towels later, their mom said, "Kids, that was the best Jell-O I have ever tasted." And sometimes when you let kids loose in the kitchen, man, watch out. And it can be an exciting time. I don't know if the kids are cooking today. I don't know what you're doing today, but I hope you have a great time and have a great Mother's Day indeed. The power of no. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." One of the most important principles we will teach our children is the ability to say no. All of our children will be tempted to do something wrong, and they should have an answer to give. I texted my dad early this morning, and I said, "Dad, remind me of the words." Now, the words, when we were small, probably kindergarten, early elementary school, on the way to school, part of the routine with dad in the car was to go through the words. That's what we call them. Let's do the words. And they would be these small phrases that he would say, and then we would repeat them. And we would repeat them with all the gusto that we possibly could as these little kids. So he texted me then this morning, and here's what we would say. He would say, "The Bible is the Word of God." And we would repeat that really loud. "Jesus is the Son of God." Then he would say, "I won't quit." And we would say that one 3 different times in a row. "I won't quit." And then he would say this, and this was always a favorite for us kids. "Who's quitting for?" He would pose the question. And then we would all answer really loud, "A bunch of little sissies." And then he would say, "Are you a sissy?" And we were like, "No, sir." You know, I mean, we were having a great time in the car talking about don't be a sissy. Then he would say, "I can makes a great man. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Work to eat. Have pity on the poor. What's the name of your flag?" And we would respond, "Old Glory." "What's the color of your flag?" We would respond, "Red, white, and blue." "When do you obey?" "First time." "How do you obey?" "With a smile." "What do you say?" "Yes, sir," or "Yes, ma'am, I'd be glad to." "Work to eat." He put that in there twice. I'm not sure. Maybe that's where I get it. It's from my dad. I'm sorry. "Have pity on the poor." Oh, "Pay your bills on time." That was the other one that we would chant. And we would go on and on. And then my dad would role play, you know, and we'd have family devotions. And then he'd come in and he'd take a piece of paper and he'd roll it up. And he said, "What would you do if I offered you a cigarette?" You know, and we would say no really loud. And then we would take it and we'd put it on the ground and we'd stomp on it, you know. And he'd get like an advertisement about alcohol or something and say, "What if I was trying to get you to drink beer?" And we would say no and we would crumble it up. And he would go through these scenarios, these charades, these made-up training moments with us as kids of things that you might encounter in life, and he was training us the answer. And the answer was no, 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 over and over. And it was something we looked forward to. Never lasted more than 5 or 10 minutes, but it was a lot of fun. But I look back at that now as a father, an adult, a leader of this class, and I see the wisdom that my dad had in instilling in the hearts of children important principles in which to build life and answers predetermined. Everybody has been faced with an opportunity to do something wrong and in the moment made the wrong decision and regretted it. Probably looking back over our life, we would look back and say, "Man, I wish I would have known how to answer that. I wish I could have resisted that right away." And there's great power in the word no. And it's something we need to understand, and it's something we need to train. So let's talk about the power of no. And first of all, in our study this morning, let's look at the fact that respecting the no of an authority figure is the first step toward building character. So if we want to build character in our lives and in the lives of those we influence, then we must train them to respect the no of an authority figure. Why? Because character is the ability to tell yourself no. None of us like to tell ourselves no, right? I gave my dark chocolate to Brother Hartanto, but that looked really good, right? And if I'm holding that in my hand, it's hard to say no. I'd like another one and another one, right? We don't like telling ourselves no, but character is the ability to tell yourself no. And it's developed at a very early age, but it's developed with moms and dads that understand we must teach and train our children to respect the no of an authority figure. Now, no is a powerful lesson, and it's one of the very first lessons that God taught man. God created Adam, then God created Eve. He placed them in the midst of the Garden of Eden, and then God said, in the midst of the garden, there is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you're not to eat the fruit of it. They were immediately told there was something that they could not have. Now, I love positive parenting. I think it has a lot of virtue and value, and we've talked about that, and we will continue to talk about that in our class. But true freedom comes from self-restraint, not self-indulgence. We have to help our children develop the ability to say no. We have the freedom to choose, but once we make a choice, now that choice has rule over us. And so we have to be careful in how we make our decisions. The Bible says in Proverbs 5, verse 22 in your notes, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Have you ever seen someone in the bondage of their own choices? We've got several in here in our class that are in law enforcement, and no doubt they could give testimony this morning of people that their life is just in bondage to the decisions that they've made, the path that they've chosen. And they had the freedom to choose, but now they have no freedom. Everybody knows what they do all the time because of the little bracelet they wear, or anklet, or whatever, because of the choices that they made. So we have freedom to make choices, but eventually those choices rule over us. And every time we choose sin, then we begin to lose freedom. And our children must understand this. If we raise children who have no respect for the word no and have no ability to say no to themselves, what does that look like in adulthood? Well, it looks like someone who's buried in credit card debt. It looks like someone who's addicted to alcohol or drugs or some other vice. It looks like someone who cannot be faithful to their spouse, is constantly stepping out. It looks like someone who eats anything they want. It looks like someone who's too lazy and unwilling to work. And on the list could go. And you know, when you see someone like that, you recognize that one time in their life, they were someone's child. And in those developmental years, an important principle was missed, and that is the ability to say no and respect the no from the authority figures that God has given you. Now, God takes authority very seriously. Notice in Romans 13 in your notes, when God talks about the authority of government and when we disobey that authority, beginning in verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to the good, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid, verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, God says. Why? Because of the sword, and because God is a revenger and full of wrath. Now, if you've read the Word of God, and I have, it is full of lots of reasons to obey. God is very clear in communicating blessing follows obedience. But God is also very forthright to say a lot of consequence comes with disobedience. If you want to step out from God's plan and following God's path and disobey God's law, you have the choice, but it's going to come with consequences. So we have to recognize as parents, we have to establish the no in our homes. The rule negotiation parenting tactic is very popular today, and kind of getting into negotiation with kids and trying to find middle ground or whatever. And often that's necessary because the parents know doesn't mean anything anymore. In fact, it was Imre Bombeck who said, when my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. And when they're finished, I climb out. And that's about where most parents are at, you know. The kids are going nuts and let me hide and let the fury pass. In fact, one parenting book that I read recently encouraged parents to help their children stop throwing fits by literally getting down on the ground and throwing one with them. Now listen, there's a lot of crazy ideas out there. There's a lot of suggestions. Can I encourage all of us this morning? Let's just take God at His word. Amen. God created you and God created me. God created marriage and God created the family, and God has a plan and it works. It may not be popular in 2019, but a lot of good things aren't. And that's okay. It doesn't mean they don't work, because they do. They're proven and God guarantees them. And so let's recognize the importance of the power of no in our home. No has no power when it is a word that is unenforced, kind of like the speed limit, right? The speed limit is 25, 55, 65, 70, whatever it is. But you know what the speed limit really is? Whatever you can get away with, right? In this region, a lot of you are commuters, you know. I know here I can go about 9 miles over, and that's what we do, you know, 74. You know, this one I can get about 6 over, and that's what I drive, you know. This one, man, at this time of day, you know, it's the Autobahn. Let's go for it, you know. And then this one, man, don't do anything, you know. We were vacationing coming back from Branson, Missouri 2 summers ago. Nobody told us that when you go through New Mexico, there's a stretch of highway there that is the Indian lands, and they have no mercy. I was pulled over. I was doing 3 miles over the speed limit, which, by the way, is breaking the law, which the officer reminded me of. I did what I always do when I'm pulled over, and I've had some experience. And I said, sir, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have been doing that, you know, and I owned up to it. Usually, if it's not that bad and you're respectful and polite, there's usually a warning given and it's a nice exchange and you can move on. This officer was having none of it. I got a ticket for 3 miles over. Of course, out of state, so I called. I forget what that cost. I think it was $172 I paid for 3 miles over. We told someone that story, and they said, oh, yeah, was that on such and such stretch of highway? I said, yeah, that's exactly what it was. They said, oh, yeah, you got to be careful. The speed limit means what it says there. Now, they've established that reputation. Of course, I didn't know it, because many people have been pulled over and ticketed there. And we understand that rules are not what we say they are. Rules are what we enforce. Now, moms and dads, this morning, let's recognize no is not a dirty word. Okay? Now, it's negative, it's limiting, it's obstructive, it's contrary, it's denying, and it's opposing. But it's a truth, and it's one that we need to deal with and embrace. Only a fool would think that they should always tell their child yes. That's not reality, and it's not life. No is an important part of the home. So we must teach them to respect it. Secondly, it wasn't the tree of knowledge of evil, but of good and of evil. So obeying the no teaches good, and disobeying it teaches evil. So when we teach our children to obey the no in our homes and in our influence, that is good. And when we teach them that disobeying it brings evil, that is truthful. In fact, the Bible defines evil and then commands us to stay away from it so we can be free. Notice what the Bible says in Job 28:28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Solomon added in Proverbs 13:19, the desire accomplishes sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Paul said in Ephesians 5, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. And to Timothy, he said in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So God desires for you and I, if we are Christians, if we are believers, if we are God's child, to depart from iniquity, the world, sin, and to depart to God. God, when he created Adam and Eve, placed them in the Garden of Eden and then told them, do not eat of the tree, the fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. The Garden of Eden was full of one no and many yeses. Here's what Satan is the master at. Satan is the master at getting us to focus on the one no. Oh, you're a Christian? I bet you can't do anything. You can't have fun. You can't wear red jackets to church. You can't smile. You can't eat breakfast burritos. You can't eat Ghirardelli chocolate. I mean, I bet it's just a bummer all the time because you're a Christian. No, actually, being a Christian is awesome. And it's a ton of fun. But Satan is a master at getting us to focus at the one no, and we miss all the yeses. The garden had one no, but it had many yeses inside. The tree in the garden of the knowledge of good and evil had that knowledge because it had a no attached to it. Adam and Eve knew that is off limits according to God. Now, every time we know what God wants us to do, our answer should be yes. And what it is, we reap the blessings for that. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Peter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So don't eat of the wrong. There's bad, there's consequence, but follow what God wants and there is incredible blessings. Now, this is something you and I can teach in our homes on a very basic level, right? We can say to our children, children, there's electrical outlets. Don't stick your fingers in them. Why? Because when you do, you get electrocuted, and it's not comfortable. When you don't, it's better. And so many things. Don't go out to the swimming pool alone. Why? Because when you do, you might fall in and drown. When you don't, you might live longer. Remember one time, Susanna, we had two kids at the time. Wives, never leave your kids with your husbands, okay? That's the preface of the story, okay? We had two kids at the time. Mariah and Lydia were very young. Susanna said, Gabe, I need to run an errand. Can you watch the girls? Oh, yeah, I got it. No problem. And there was a guy coming over, Brother Tim, and we were servicing the air conditioning unit outside. So he was teaching me how to take it apart, how to do everything, you know. And so I'm doing that, and I'm watching the girls. You know, I got an eye on both. I got it, multitasking, you know, and all that good stuff. His name was Joe Turry. And so we're doing all the work and everything. And finally, I no longer saw one of the girls out of the corner of my eye. Now, our neighbor had a pool, and they had a fence around it and gates and stuff. What I didn't know was one of the gates was open. So as I came around the corner, I saw the one girl, not the other. And then I looked across the way into their yard, into their pool, and I saw something in the pool. And then it was just like, no way. And I ran and I ran. And as I got closer and closer, sure enough, that was Mariah in that pool by herself. I'm thinking, Susanna is going to kill me. I have just killed our oldest child. I mean, how do you explain to your wife that your daughter is dead because you were doing the air conditioning, you know? And all of this is going through my mind. I'm running to that pool. I've got work clothes on. I think I had a phone in my pocket. None of it mattered. I dove into that pool, and I got Mariah. And thankfully, she was okay. In fact, the guy helping me was a paramedic, which was the Lord, for mercy on my stupidity. And he checked her out. She was okay. And so we asked Mariah. We said, Mariah, what happened? And she said, I think she was like chasing a butterfly or something. She fell into the pool. And then she said, I couldn't swim, but I did okay if I just laid still. And Susanna tried to ask her how long she was in the pool. I didn't let her answer because I didn't want to get in trouble, you know. I was like, oh, it was just a second, you know, I don't really know. So there's lots of lessons around the house you've got to teach your kids, because there's knowledge to both. There's power to the no and to the yes. I've just lost all my babysitting opportunities in this class. I'm sorry. My children do not take after me, though, all right? You can trust the girls. Now, Once our children have this knowledge of this no and this yes, now they can make a moral decision every time they're in the proximity of it. When they go to that outlet, are they going to obey or disobey? When they go over to the dog food bowl, are they going to obey or disobey? When they see mommy's pretty decoration on the bottom shelf, are they going to obey or disobey? Now they are faced with a decision that they have to make. And these are opportunities to train our children on the power of no, and also to understand there's good and evil. There's consequence and there's blessing for obedience. No, thirdly, until a child learns to control himself in the no and respect the instruction of authority, all other training is premature. So if they don't get this, you don't have much of a foundation to build on. You've got to instill this principle. Learning to respond to the no properly is the dawn of morality in your child's life. It is imperative. The fear of the Lord is imperative. Notice the scriptures, and we don't have time. I'll highlight them. Psalms 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord, the fear of authority, the fear of a parent, this is the beginning of freedom and blessing for your child. He's saying, now hang on, Pastor Gabe, you're blowing my mind here. You're saying that when my children fear me, this is the beginning of freedom and blessing in their life? Hang on, I want my kids to love me. I mean, it's Mother's Day. I mean, I want it to be fuzzy-feely, you know? And love is important. You know, when you study the relationship that we have with God, He wants both. God wants you and I to love Him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, right? But God also wants you and I to fear Him. Now you say, Gabe, what are you talking about fear? I'm not talking about like I'm afraid of God. In fact, it's God that said in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. What time I am afraid, the Bible says, I will trust in thee. So God doesn't want us to be afraid of Him. But God wants us to have a fear, a reverence, an awe that we want to please Him. Let me put this on the home level. For my children, Mariah, Lydia, Annalene, and Joseph, I don't want them afraid of me. Like dad walks in the room, boom, they're gone. You know, this guy's crazy, I'm out of here. No, I'm not looking for that. Here's what I'm looking for. I do want my kids to know I love them. But I do want my kids to be afraid to disobey in front of me. My kids should not have a comfort in my presence with directly disobeying what I have trained them to do and feeling like it's no big deal. If my kids in my presence feel like they can directly disobey what I've trained them to do, then what am I doing? I'm not being their father like I should. And I'm certainly not preparing them for a relationship with God. God is going to expect them to obey. To obey is better than to sacrifice, the Bible says. God is going to expect them to obey right away. Delayed obedience is disobedience in God's eyes. So I want my kids to love me, and I want them to know I love them. I don't want them to be afraid of me, but I want them to have a godly fear that dad's here, I better do the right thing. Now, you and I understand, you take that as young children, you're navigating that through, they have a Heavenly Father who's always there. And now it's not just that dad's in the room with you and watching you, and the minute I leave, it's right back to whatever the candy bowl was. But it's understanding that God is always there. And so then you're training children to obey the presence of the Lord, the unseen authority. And that's kind of the graduation level, if you will, that you now have successfully parented and trained because your children are committed to obedience when they're by themselves, only in the presence of the Lord. But I'm telling you, the foundation of that is that they're going to obey when you're there. And there has to be a fear of, when I'm disobeying and mom and dad are here, something is going to happen. All right? Why? Because when there's no constraint over a child, there's never a no and there's never a consequence. This is the child who puts his hand up on the stove and gets a burn, right? This is the one who just walks right out into a busy street without looking. This is the one who's petting the pit bull that you told him to stay away from. This is the one putting the bobby pins and electrical outlets that you've taught them. This is the one who's picking up the knife without any supervision. And on it goes. Why? Because the child who will not mind the word no is a menace to himself and all of those that are around him. There has to be in our homes a fear of the consequence of disobedience. When we say no, even one time, and it is disregarded, so our children do the opposite anyway, and there is no consequence, then we are crippling our child's preparation for a healthy walk with God and a healthy life. Watch this. Remember back in the garden? God said, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then what did God say? If you do it, you're going to die. Now what did Satan tell Adam and Eve? Genesis 3:4. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. So God says, you do this, you're going to get in trouble. Satan says, no, you won't. You're not going to get in trouble. God won't do that. But what happened? God did. They disobeyed, and they were eternally separated from God. They were kicked out of the garden. They were spiritually dead. And that's why Jesus Christ had to come and to die on the cross for you and for me, because God kept his word, and he always does. Now, God challenges you and I as his children to obey him because we love him. But it is the fear of the Lord that begins to help us turn from wrong. I gave you a bunch of verses on that there from Proverbs. I don't have time to cover them. Number four, if you do not train your young children to mind your no the first time every time, and if they are not afraid of the consequence, knowing it is as sure and certain as the sun rising, then you are planting folly in them early on. Now listen. If you and I can train in our children the fear of the Lord, living in reverence of God, a commitment to doing right, to being obedient to the unseen authority in our life, there's two things that they will have forever according to the scriptures. Proverbs 14. In the fear of the Lord is what? Strong confidence. And his children shall have place of refuge. And then in Isaiah 33:6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. What will our children have if they develop this respect of no, this submission to no, this fear of the Lord? A strong confidence and a stability. God says this will follow the life of the obedient one. A strong confidence and stability. Listen, saying no, consequence, all of that. That's the other side of the coin of parenting nobody really likes, right? Can I encourage you for a minute? Training prevents most chastening. In homes where we're doing a lot of chastening, a lot of correction, a lot of retooling, a lot of making things right, usually is a sign there's not a lot of training there. Because when we're training, it prevents most chastening. So don't be overwhelmed by, man, we've got all this work to do. Listen, we all have a lot of work to do. But let's roll up our sleeves and let's do it. And let's train. And you will find that to be a great help in the parenting journey. Number five, and we're done and out of time. Teach your child the fear of the Lord and the power of no. Remember that you are preparing them to transfer their walk with you to a lifelong walk with God through adulthood. Let's think about a few things as we close. As moms and dads this morning, if our no doesn't mean anything in our home, then how do we ever expect God's no to mean anything to our child, right? We're preparing them for a lifelong relationship with God. If we have developed in our home that we as parents have to beg, whine, bribe, count to 10, whatever it is, to get them to respond and obey, we are creating an unrealistic view of God in the hearts of our kids. Do we really think that God's going to look down at our kids and say, now, Junior, I told you to be kind. I told you to be faithful to your wife. One, two, three. Come on, right? That's not happening. Now, if you'll stay committed to your word, there's an extra blessing coming your way. It's not happening. I'm telling you, we're setting them up for something that's not real. So think about it. When you give your children instruction, do they look at you? Do you have to repeat the instruction given? Do you have to talk loud in order for them to hear? We want to develop a relationship where instruction is given, it's heard, and it's obeyed, because that's the relationship we want them to have with their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that we are preparing our children for their own personal walk with God. So I know it's not very Mother's Day, and Mom, we have Ghirardelli chocolate for you on the way out. Hopefully it'll make it better. But the power of no. One of the first lessons God ever taught mankind, don't eat of that fruit. Why? Because there was power in the ability to understand, I have to learn to say no. And may you and I in our own life model, there's some things I got to say no to. And may we train and instill in our children and those in whom we influence the power of no. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. What does it mean? When someone encourages you to do the wrong thing, say no. And the sooner they learn it, the better. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word and the power and application that it has to our everyday life, even today. Lord, I thank you for our class, and I pray your special blessing on every mom on this Mother's Day, all that we have coming up this week as a class, and things that we're celebrating and doing together. We ask your blessing upon it. Help us as families to embrace the truth of your word, and may we live it out in our own life and in our home as well. And we ask your special blessing on each and every home here, and we'll praise and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.